Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
I cannot tell you how happy I am to be with Cool Church today and to be able to celebrate with you the great things that God is doing. You know, God is doing this all over the world. He is creating out of love. He's creating new life. He's creating new passion. He's creating new vision. He's creating new homes, new families, new hearts. God is doing a great work. And you all, even in your name, you so represent the power of God and what He's doing globally, even during this rough season, the pandemic, and all of the racial injustice and social upheaval. In spite of all this chaos, I want to remind you that God does His best work in the middle of chaos. So if your life's a little chaotic, family life's a little chaotic, right now, just know that God does His best work in these moments of chaos. And today our worship has been amazing. Our celebration of the Lord's sacrifice for our lives, all of this has been great. Our time of singing and enjoying the presence of God has been powerful. But you know, we've got great pastors who make all that possible. And so I'm very honored to be in the lives of your pastors. I'm so grateful for Terrence and Joanne, and I thank God for them and Vava. Thank God for their family. God's done such a wonderful work through them to you. And I love the way you honor them, and I love the way they honor you. And you know, oftentimes people honor others just naturally because you love them, but don't necessarily understand the spiritual component to honor. But I want to show you today from the Word of God that honor releases people to walk in their purpose. Honor releases people to fulfill the destiny that God has for them. As a matter of fact, when you honor someone, it even releases them to minister to you more powerfully when you honor them. And so we live in a world where there's diminished honor. People are quick to be sarcastic and quick to be cynical, and there's less honor and more dishonor going on in our world, on the news, everywhere we see it. From the White House right on down to our house, we discovered that there's so much cynicism. But God wants to replace that with what I call the gift of honor. It is not just an idea I came up with. It's a biblical idea. And it's one that is especially reserved for good leaders. And I want to be able to say to you today that there are three ways that honor should be released from your life. Number one, you should always honor God. Number two, you should always honor the people that are in your life. And number three, you should always honor your leaders. And when you release the gift of honor, it will bring the same honor back to you. Let's read a little scripture from Romans 13. Then we'll jump into 1 Timothy 5. Romans 13 and 7 says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority." Isn't that interesting? Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. But earlier it says, give to everyone what you owe them. And so honor is not just for those who are in authority or in leadership, but it's to everyone. And we owe that honor to everyone. 1 Timothy 5:17 takes the leadership part a little further. It says, "Elders or pastors or leaders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating." Now, you can't call your pastor an ox, but the Bible can. It says you don't muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, it says those who work deserve their pay. Do not even listen to an accusation against an elder or a leader unless it's confirmed by two or three witnesses. You know, I want to start out by simply reporting the news a little bit to you, and that is that the world is full of phony leaders. It's just full of people who are about themselves. They have no sense of empathy. They have no mercy. They don't have a whole lot of intellect sometimes. They don't have a lot of leadership skills, but yet they find themselves in places of great authority and great responsibility. And it's amazing how leaders who are phony, leaders who are hung up on self, leaders who are egotistical and filled with pride, they demand respect and they demand honor, even though they deserve it the least. But what you'll discover about great leadership is that great leadership doesn't have to demand honor or demand respect. It naturally flows to them because it's the right thing to do. It's in the same way that you have honored your pastors and the leadership team here, and the same way you honor each other, you honor those who lead your dream team or who lead your small group, in the same way that you honor your spouse, in the same way you honor your children or honor your parents, it kind of naturally flows. But there are blessings that come along with giving this gift of honor, and I want you all to reap all the blessings that come with giving this awesome gift of honor. I want to say this one more time. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to say this to you. Women and men who lead well, they deserve honor, but they never seem to demand honor. Women and men who lead well, they deserve honor, but they never seem to demand that honor. And so for those of us who follow them, then we must then give them what they do not demand. We must offer to them what they don't ask us for and what they do not require. And even though it doesn't change the way they work, they will love us, work for us, serve us, no matter what, no matter how we treat them. We will discover that when we give honor to whom, as the King James says, when we give honor to whom honor is due, that it reaps a great benefit, not just for those that we honor, but for the person who gives the gift of honor. And so I want to start with, there's three or four points I'll make today, and I won't be very long, but I want to start with this idea, and that is learn how to give honor to those who are in authority. But understand that honor is not a demand, but it is a gift of love. It is given voluntarily, not because it must be given. And so God will put people in your life who serve as an authority in your life, not authoritarian, but as an authority in your life. They give guidance, they give leadership, much like your pastors do, or your small group leader, or the person who leads your team. They give direction and guidance. And so the Bible says that it's a good thing out of love to give honor to them. One of the things that honor does is that honor gives the benefit of the doubt. Honor says they don't always have to get it perfect. They don't always have to get it absolutely 100% right, but I give the benefit of the doubt. You know, I've been serving our church here in Norfolk for now going on 31 years as their pastor. I started pastoring them when I was 30 years old. Well, you can be sure I haven't always gotten it right. You can be sure that I've made some mistakes along the way. You can be sure that in my youth and now even in my older age, I just don't get it absolutely 100% right every time. But I love the fact that I serve people who give me the benefit of the doubt. In other words, they don't assume the worst about me. They don't automatically think negatively of me because they give me the gift of honor. When they give me the gift of honor, what it does is it releases me to be my very best. It releases me to love them and serve them and teach them and encourage them and see the best in them like I've never done before because they give me the gift of honor. So when they give me the gift of honor, it then in return causes me to serve more and love more and love deeper and pray more. Do you see the terrible consequences of the way the world does things? The world dishonors so quickly. The world puts down so quickly. The world assumes the worst so quickly. And all it does is it just pulls everybody down. It pulls the leader down. It pulls the people that they lead down. Everybody goes down when we operate in a dishonor system. But when we operate in an honor system, I'm talking about when you have good and godly and great leaders. When you find those kind of leaders and you honor them, you're not really so much blessing them as much as you're blessing yourself. You're doing something that then in turn brings the blessing right back to you. And you'll see that even more when we go a little further, because then when Paul talks to Timothy about honor, he says, give honor to those who work hard. You know, I wouldn't give you a nickel for a lazy pastor. You know, I just don't think they're worth anything if they're lazy. But those who will lead and work hard and get up early and go to bed late and pray for folk and encourage folk and look out for people, I believe they are worthy of great honor. And you all are blessed in an amazing way to have leaders who not only lead in ministry, but lead in business all at the same time. And they are powerful and godly and honorable and have integrity in every area that they lead. They fall into this category that the apostle talks about. He says that honor is reserved for those who work hard. Those who are about it, those who are on their grind, those who are going after it with everything that they have, those that are excited about it, those who can wear themselves out because they work so hard. Paul says, when you find leaders, he said, because everybody's not going to be like that. He said, but when you find you a leader that's on their grind, he says, then I want you to make sure that you give them the gift of honor. Then he goes into this discussion where he compares a leader to an ox. I'm not sure if I like that comparison or not, but it worked for Paul. I guess it'll work for us too. But he says, now, he says, I want you to imagine that your leader is an ox. Here's what the ox does. The ox is the one that pulls the grindstone that grinds up the grain. So the grain becomes flour and the flour becomes bread. I want you to imagine that if you can. So there's an ox. He's tied to a long stick. That stick is connected to two large stones. He pulls and one stone spins around on top of the other. And as it does, it grinds grain that is between the two stones. And then as a result, as the corn or the wheat is ground, it becomes what is necessary to make flour. And of course, the flour then becomes bread. So when the farmer sits at the table eating bread, he has bread because the ox kept grinding so that the stone kept working and kept making flour. This is where we get the phrase on my grind, because the ox is grinding. He's grinding the flour so that everybody can eat. There are many of you sisters and many of you brothers, you are on your grind. You are doing what you do so everybody in the house can eat, including yourself. So the Bible then says, don't muzzle the ox as he's grinding the corn. So one of what things that happened among evil farmers is what they would do is, so that they would have more grain, they would put a muzzle on the ox so that he would grind, but he could not eat anything that kind of fell out of the grindstone or shot out of there. Sometimes a little grain would fall in front of him. So they were so greedy, they wanted it all. So they said, we're going to muzzle him so that he can't eat any of the grain as he's grinding. He just starves until we decide that we want to feed him. Paul says, don't do that to your leader. Don't muzzle her. Don't muzzle him so that they don't get to eat of all the blessings that come out of being on their grind. Now, truly, when Paul was talking about this, he was talking about this in terms of pay, in terms of money even, in terms of taking care of the physical needs. But I want to talk to you today about what that means in the area of encouragement, because I know that you're always going to look out for your leaders. I know you're going to take good care of your pastors. We don't have to have that discussion. But I do want to say to you that there's an encouragement that they need. And I'm going to ask you, don't muzzle them. Don't shut them out of moments of encouragement. Don't shut them out of moments of celebration, celebrating them, celebrating their birthdays, celebrating Father's Day, celebrating great things that happen for them. Don't ever shut down celebrations, because when you do, you muzzle the ox, because What your leader needs to do is they need to enjoy the encouragement that comes from the wins that you all have, from the success that you all have. So never stop the process of celebrating the wins and talking about everybody that got saved this month and talking about everybody that got baptized last month and talking about everybody who joined the church. Don't ever do that. And don't let your leaders ever fall into this false sense of humility where they don't celebrate the great things God has done. You know, I say that, and then as I say it, I have to admit to you that was one of my failures as a younger leader. I was so concerned that people would think that I was taking credit or that I was taking some glory for it, that I never got up and talked about what God had done and how God had moved in the ministry and the people that got healed and the people that got set free. I wouldn't talk about it very much, and I didn't let other people talk about it much because I was always worried that they'd think they were talking about me and I'd be getting credit. And you know what I was doing? I was muzzling the ox. And rather than eating of the success and the wins and the joy that I was feeding to everybody else, I muzzled myself so that I didn't enjoy it. You got to make sure that your leaders keep their muzzle off so that they enjoy what God is doing. And here's what you got to do. You've got to be one of those people in Cool Church that is quick to walk up to any of your leadership and say, I appreciate what you do. I love you for what you do. Here's a card. I just wanted to give this to you for some encouragement. Nothing special. I just wanted to say thank you because you've helped me, or you've served me, you've led me, the church has been good for me. You see, you want to honor your leader, and you want to honor your church, and you want to honor your leadership. Because when you do it, when you take the muzzle off your leaders, they eat well and they get encouraged in the process. And you know what that makes them do? You got it. Makes them grind some more. See, if you want to keep them grinding, you want to keep them on their grind, you want to keep them happily working for you and serving you for the next 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, then you know what you do? You just keep encouraging them. Because every time you throw down that grain of encouragement, it just makes them want to take another step. Why are they stepping? Because there's more grain out there. And so what you do is you put the grain of encouragement, you put the grain of your love, you put the grain of your loyalty out there. And what it does for a leader, when you give that gift of honor, it builds them up, it strengthens them, it encourages them, because you can be sure somebody around the corner is saying something bad, somebody over here is saying something negative, and when you say something good, it counteracts everything else that they've heard all week. All the criticism, have you heard it? I've told people this for years, that for every criticism that you give, it takes 30 compliments to make up for the one criticism. You should look at somebody and say, I'm behind. I got to catch up. Because you know we do a lot of criticizing, but not a lot of complimenting. But it takes about 30 compliments to make up for the one criticism that you give. Learn to be a woman or a man that affirms people, that builds them up. I'm not just talking about your leaders, but at home. Be the person that notices how good the meal was, that notices how good the grass looked, that notices how clean things are, that notices how good things smell, that notices that the car's got gas in it. It just magically, the tank got filled up. Be the person that notices those things and makes a really big deal out of the good things that happen. Because when you learn to give honor to those that work hard, it makes all the difference in the world. But now, Paul takes us a step further. He says, not only do you give honor to those who work hard, but when they work hard and they teach, then you really want to make sure that they feel super blessed when you have somebody who not only works hard, but they teach you. Now, this is what makes your pastor kind of unique in this, and those who teach in the church makes them unique in this, because they not only are working hard, but they're also teaching scripture. They work hard to make sure that you get the word. Now, some of you're smart. You're already connecting the dots and you're already saying, you know what? If the whole ox on the grind thing is true, then that means if they're teaching me and doing a good job of it now, if I'll keep them encouraged, they'll teach even better. they'll bring even more revelation. They'll bring even more understanding. They'll operate in an even greater anointing if I'll learn how to honor them and love them and say thank you for the little things that they do. For those of you who understand what family is all about, saying thank you means an awful lot. Have you ever noticed that the people that we don't know, just met in the elevator, just met on the escalator, just met the other day walking in the door, that we're quick to say thank you and please and you're welcome? But for the people that we know very well, it's almost as if we forget to say thank you, and we forget to say please, and we forget to say you're welcome for the people that we know best. But wouldn't you agree with me? It's the people that hang around you all the time, the people that have to put up with you when nobody else would. They deserve a thanks. They deserve a you're welcome. They deserve a please more than any of those folks that you just met the other day. And so don't allow yourself to become so familiar with the great leadership that you have, with the great sisters and brothers that you have in Cool Church, with the great small group leader that you have, with the great dream team leader that you have. Don't become so familiar that you forget to say thank you. I appreciate you, and I really love you, and I am grateful that God put you in my life. How easy is it to shoot a text that says, I appreciate you? How easy is it to send a quick email? I just want you to know that I noticed what you did today, and I want you to know that I appreciate that thing. That thing meant a lot to me. I want you to know, I noticed that you kind of went out of your way to help so-and-so, and I don't know if he said anything, but I want to make sure you know that we noticed it and we appreciate it. When you honor where the word comes from, and the teacher, the person who's teaching you, is where the word comes from. Sure, it comes from the Lord, but it has to come through somebody. So when the person who's teaching brings the word, then you want to honor the word that comes through that person. How do you do that? By thanking them, by honoring them, by appreciating them. Why would I ever do something like that? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when I get the word, it shows me where I am and it shows me where I'm going. So anybody who brings that word to me that shows me where I am and helps me see where I'm going, man, I want to appreciate them, because in doing so, all it does is get me more light on my path, more light on my way. I see better where I am. And the better I see where I am, the better I can see where I'm going. And so when I find a good teaching sister, a good teaching brother who can put it down and who helps me, and I see it like I've never seen it before, now the word of God makes sense to me and I know how to apply it, I know how to walk in it, man, I'm going to honor them. I'm going to appreciate them, because as I do that, as I give the gift of honor, all I do is get more light on my own path. And you say, well, so am I doing it for selfish reasons? No, you're doing it for smart reasons. Because what you realize is that giving the gift of honor doesn't just bless the person you honor, but it ultimately blesses you. Because the person who deserves the honor, they're going to eventually get that. God's going to find somebody that's going to give them that. So they're going to ultimately, eventually get what's coming to them. It's true for bad leaders too. They're going to eventually get what's coming to them. Good leaders are going to eventually get what's coming to them. But you will miss your opportunity to be a part of the cycle of blessing if you fail to give honor to whom honor is due. Is there anybody in your life that's been a real blessing to you that you've just failed to honor? Is there anybody in your life that really made a difference for you and you've never really told them? Is there anybody in your life that you think all the time, man, where would I be without them? But you've never actually said it to them. You ought to consider doing what the Bible says. Don't muzzle that person. Take that muzzle off. A muzzle is something that guards over the mouth so that you can't eat. And it also, we know from wearing masks a lot lately, it also covers your smile too. And so when you muzzle them, you shut out their ability to eat and you shut down their joy. And when you learn how to give honor where honor is due, you take the mask off, you take the muzzle off, and you release them to eat of that joy, get strength from it, and to smile about it, and be happy about it. I'm almost done. Won't take me but another few moments and I'll be done. You see, ultimately, sisters and brothers, honor is always a two-way street. Honor goes both ways, because as a leader, here's what I'd tell you. I'd tell you that most often I honor those who honor me. And even for you, in your relationships in Cool Church, it's a mutual honor that we talk about. It's not a one-way street. It's a mutual honor. It goes in both directions. You see, what's happened for you is that you found your way into a church where you are honored by those that lead you. They don't lead you for gain. They lead you out of love and out of honor. You've been blessed. I know it's true because I've been given the opportunity to have the kind of relationship with Pastor Terrence where I'm with him at least a minimum of 2 hours every month. A minimum of 2 hours every month. We sit and talk, and we talk about you, and we talk about his desire to serve you well. We talk about his desire to make sure that you have everything that you need as the people of God to grow. We talk about his longing, Joanne's longing, to make sure that you all become everything that God meant for you to be. And so I can then preach a message to you that I might not preach everywhere. And I can say to you, honor them, because I know it's a two-way street. I know personally that they honor you. And for honor to be biblical, it must go both ways. Remember, you don't muzzle the ox that does what? That treads out the corn, not the lazy ox that's laying around somewhere just chilling, but it's the ox that's treading out the corn. It's the ox that's working for you that you don't muzzle. It's the ox that's serving you that you don't muzzle. It's the ox that has your best interest at heart that you don't muzzle him. And you don't take him out. And you don't destroy that ox. You don't decide one day we want ox steak tonight instead of bread. Because when you take your ox out, then now you cut out your bread for your future. You sacrifice your future for a short-term meal. It's so unfortunate. There are so many people that don't know how to love people that love them. They don't know how to honor people that honor them. They have them for dinner rather than letting them serve and doing that mutually and loving them back in response for what they do. I don't want you to ever fall into that trap. I want you to always be those folks who understand the power of mutual honor. Why? Because ultimately this all comes from the way God loves us. You know, as much as a sinner as I am, you know, thank God for grace that saved me. But you know, as flawed and broken as I am, God honors and loves me. Can you believe that? That God would love me, that God would honor me, that God would put his favor on me, that God's hand is on my life and it's on yours too. And none of us deserve it. It's simply by grace. What do I do in response to a God that honors me, even though I don't deserve it? I'll tell you what I do. I lift my hands and I honor him back. I give him worship and I give him praise and I give him honor and I give him glory. Why? Because he first loved me and then I loved him in return. He first favored me and I give honor back to him in return. It's all mutual. And because God has given us this wonderful picture of how mutual honor works, he honors us, we honor him, and he honors us more. As we honor him more, he honors us more. And favor increases, our worship deepens, his favor increases. Our worship deepens, his favor increases. Happens the same way in personal relationships too. You can depreciate them or you can appreciate them. When you appreciate something, the value goes up. When you depreciate something, the value goes down. What's God calling you to do with your relationships in Cool Church, with your relationships with your leaders, with your relationship with your pastors? He's calling you to a life of appreciation, because the more you appreciate what you have, the higher the value goes up. It just means more to you and it produces more for you. That's the way our God works. So today, I want you, wherever you are, I want you to just begin right now. Can we give God thanks for the leaders that he's given us and the relationships that he's given us within our church. Can we praise him for that now? Come on, join me. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you honor. We thank you, Lord, for our pastors. We thank you for our leadership teams. We thank you, Lord, for those who serve. We thank you for our volunteers. We thank you for sisters and brothers that we've connected with. We praise you for our relationships and our families, our spouses, our children, our parents. We stop, Lord, and we just give you thanks for them. And in thanking you, we honor them and we give glory, Lord, for all that you've done through them in our lives. Lord, we vow, Lord, to be the kind of people that take the muzzle off of those who serve us and bless us and help us. And we determine in our hearts, Lord, that we're going to give them the encouragement and we're going to give them the strength and the smiles and the love and the appreciation that makes them want to keep on their grind and keep on grinding that flour and making that bread and blessing our lives. We are determined. And Lord, for those of us who lead, we are determined that when people love on us and give us appreciation and thanks, we're going to take all of that and give it all back to you because you deserve the glory and you deserve the honor. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Wow. I hope you had as good a time listening as I had preaching. This was very powerful for me. I'm encouraged and I pray that you are too. You know, I want to take a moment because there are a lot of people that come to Cool Church who may not have made Jesus Christ their Lord yet. You may not even be sure about what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be saved. But I want to tell you today that Jesus absolutely loves you. Say, how can you say that, Pastor? You don't even know me. I don't have to. I know he loves you. I'll go further. He loves you no matter what you've done. He loves you no matter what you've said, no matter where you've been. He loves you. And I'll go a step further. He wants to be your friend. He just needs you to do one thing. He needs you to tell him you're sorry for your sin and ask him to take over your life. That can happen to you right where you are in your home, in a hospital, in your car, in a hotel, wherever you are. It can happen to you right now. You don't have to be at church. It can happen to you right now. You say, Pastor, how do I do it? I thought you'd never ask. Would you bow your head with me? Would you just pray this little prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, and I want you to be my Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Come on, say the words. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Come on, say it out loud. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. Make me a new person. I receive forgiveness of my sins and new life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.